Right, let's do this crazy thing. From the studios of Wavefront Audiovisual Engineering in Schenectady, New York, this is Little Brother, the show where we talk about high technology, low intelligence, crime, greed, corruption, and all of the wonderful things that happen when you mix them together. Like any responsible little brother, we tell on Big Brother. My name is Chuck Ritter, and I'll be your host as we explore this world of the high tech. This is episode 60 of Little Brother, dated the 13th of November, 2021. Stay tuned, Little Brother is right around the corner. As always, I'd like to remind everyone that the opinions and views expressed in this program are strictly those of the participants, and not necessarily those of anyone else who may, for whatever reason, attempt to claim them. Responsible parties with an opposing viewpoint may request an opportunity for a rebuttal. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can write me at critter@littlebrotherpodcast.com. So let's get started. It should come as no surprise if your employer is snooping on your activities when you are at work. The computer that your employer supplies you with is theirs after all, and it's their prerogative to load it with whatever spyware they deem appropriate. Well, Microsoft plans to make this easier. A feature being proposed on the Microsoft 365 roadmap is being described as increased visibility on browsers. Now, if it's never occurred to you that your employer may be monitoring your online activities when you're using work resources, you're probably late to the game, but understand that this means that there's going to be a lot more of it. Clearview has been kicked out of Australia for violating the nation's privacy laws. Clearview produces a facial recognition system that uses photographs scraped from the internet as its training set. The search engine uses over 10 billion such images. The Office of the Australian Information Commissioner found that Clearview's scraping of data on Australian citizens violated the law there. Back in July, the same thing happened in Canada and the UK, leaving Clearview only able to operate in parts of the world where privacy is not well protected, for instance, here in the US. Last week, I mentioned the $10 million bounty announced for the capture or conviction of the leadership of DarkSide. Well, another week, another bounty. This week, the bounty of $10 million was put on the leadership of Revil, or R-Evil, depending on how you want to pronounce it. As with DarkSide, there's also a $5 million bounty on anyone associated with Revil. This announcement follows on the heels of the arrest in Poland of Yaroslav Wasiński, a Ukrainian national accused of being an associate of Revil, and the seizure of $6.1 million worth of cryptocurrency that had been sent to another Revil associate. Security research firm Randorio is reporting a critical vulnerability that affects Palo Alto Networks' Global Protect VPN gateway. This VPN appliance is used in over 10,000 enterprises worldwide. The vulnerability is a buffer overflow with, you guessed it, arbitrary code execution. This is bad. Really bad. These gateways provide access for remote users to get onto corporate networks. The worst part, though, is the timing. Randorio reported the vulnerability on Thursday, but they've known about it since November of last year. Representative Jerry Nadler, a Democrat of New York, is sponsoring a bill in the House of Representatives, H.R. 3825, called the Ending Platform Monopolies Act. If enacted, this law will prevent internet-based businesses from acting in a way that creates a conflict of interest. For instance, a company that provides a marketplace for other vendors would be prevented from introducing a product line that competes with those vendors. The Computer and Communications Industry Association, or CCIA, is not amused. In fact, they're scared. They have begun a FUD-laden advertising campaign against the act. It includes a website where you can send a message to Congress opposing the bill without naming the bill explicitly because, of course, they wouldn't want you to look it up and research it. The SANS Institute, a respected U.S. cybersecurity firm, has announced that its founder, Alan Powler, has passed away at the age of 76. From the obituary, Mr. Powler was a pioneer in the cybersecurity industry, championing the need for greater education and knowledge for practitioners. His combination of passion, intellect, and ethical rigor was instrumental in bringing more skilled people into the profession. He founded SANS, a professional cybersecurity training organization that trains more than 40,000 cybersecurity technologists each year. In 1989, he was also president emeritus of SANS Technology Institute, the nation's first regionally accredited specialized cybersecurity college and graduate school. And those are the headlines. You're listening to Little Brother. And you know what that music means. It's time for another episode of Who Got Pwned This Week. The first pwn this week is investment app Robinhood. In a blog entry from November 3rd, they write, quote, "Late in the evening of November 3rd, we experienced a data security incident. An unauthorized third party obtained access to a limited amount of personal information for a portion of our customers. Based on our investigation, the attack has been contained, and we believe that no social security numbers, bank account numbers, or debit card numbers were exposed, and that there has been no financial loss to any customers as a result of the incident," end quote. According to the announcement, a list of approximately 5 million users' names and email addresses, plus additional personal information on a few hundred that is believed to contain addresses, dates of birth, and a small number of users with even more, has been exfiltrated. The attacker used basic tried-and-true approach of social engineering to gain access. Robinhood quickly moved to contain the attack, and since they are the ones reporting it to the public themselves, the outward appearance is that they're doing everything right in response. Hopefully, employee education will be added to that list. The second pwn this week is far more concerning. The victim in this case is Sunwater, a major drinking water supplier in the state of Queensland in Australia. As I mentioned in episode 46, infrastructure systems are not often well-maintained from a cybersecurity perspective, and so attacks like this are hardly surprising. The breach was mentioned in a report published by the Queensland Audit Office. As one might expect, and this is a quote, "Sunwater takes cybersecurity very seriously and acknowledges the findings in the Queensland Audit Office report," end quote. Make of that what you will. Our third and final pwn this week is the FBI. Email spam tracking service Spamhouse has tweeted that they have become aware of concerning emails coming from the FBI and the Department of Homeland Security. These emails appear to pass some basic authentication tests because they are actually coming from the FBI infrastructure. A sample of the emails attempts to implicate a specific person as a threat actor who has been acting on the recipient's systems. Spamhouse have confirmed that the emails are in fact fake and that the recipients should not consider this cause for concern. Senator Steve Daines, a Republican of Montana, and Senator Sheldon Whitehouse, a Democrat of Rhode Island, have introduced Senate Bill 2292 named the Study on Cyber Attack Response Options Act. The act, should it become law, will have the Department of Homeland Security perform a study and produce a report of recommendations. About what, you may ask? Cyber revenge. Nothing more, nothing less. The study is to figure out what the impacts would be if the U.S. government were to authorize in some form for people and organizations undergoing cyber attacks to return fire on the apparent attacker. By that, I mean private organizations may, depending on the outcome of the study, be permitted to hack back when under a cyber attack. Now, while this is still just a study, I want to say that the idea it leads to is very dangerous. Like many things with law and technology, this is not the first time we've been here. In 2017, Representative Tom Graves, a Republican of Georgia, with Kyrsten Sinema, a Democrat of Arizona, introduced a bill that, had it become law, would have gone past the study and just flat out made hacking back legal. So why is this such a bad idea? Well, the biggest problem here is figuring out who it is that's actually attacking you. There are a number of ways to hide yourself on the internet: VPN, Tor, relaying your traffic through a botnet, etc. Some of these are legal, some are not, but none of them are complicated. For instance, last week I mentioned that a number of compromised GitLab servers had been turned into a botnet that were laying out a terabit per second of hurt in a distributed denial of service attack. So, who's the attacker? It's probably not initiated by any one of the compromised GitLab servers or their owners. They are unwitting victims of the same action. This would be like attributing a bank robbery to the owner of the stolen getaway car. Now, given time, clues can be assembled to figure out who is responsible for an attack. But this could take weeks or months. And the ideas being pursued by these bills, however, seem to be oriented more at the idea of an organization being able to hit back tactically. That is to say, we're under attack, fire back now. Well, who do you fire at? I mean, I work in IT. Given the difficulty that is often encountered in getting folks to follow logically what the cause of a particular phenomenon might be, this power cannot be entrusted to private organizations that don't have the time or quite often the forensic skill needed to accurately pick out a target. Little Brother is produced, recorded, edited, and hosted by yours truly, Chuck Ritter. Special thanks to Fongaboo and the crowd at Helix for web hosting support. Shout out to the Albany 2600 group. Special thanks to Knight Rider 007, Thriller at Play, Fungaboo, Azrael, and Mister 73 for assistance with some of the stories. Our headline music is Adrenochrome by Super Action 80. Our Who Got Pump music is Analog Summer 3 by Asarhad. And our theme music is Around Chaos by Heatseeker. If you have questions or comments about this podcast, or want to join the conversation, please drop me an email at critter@littlebrotherpodcast.com. Join us next week when Little Brother tells on Big Brother once again. Stay safe and be well. Ah, boy, that is a mouthful of buzzwords, eh?